Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. Merry Christmas to everyone out there. Hope you had a great Christmas. Lots of food, lots of drinks and some awesome presents. Today we have our face-off show where you, the listeners, have given us a bunch of players to go through. If we like them, if we don't, and we're just going to have an argument here. We're going to get into the Royal Rumble a little bit early here on the Draft Doctors and say yay or nay on these players that you guys have kindly thrown up to us. Quick shout out to the people who did contribute to this from the people on Twitter. We've got Leroy DT, Benny Macca, Rain Mant, Nez Waldo, some bloke named Warney, don't know who he is, Cam Gowder, Hugh Winterfield, Gore Garroth, Dream Team Bets, Churto5, Mitchell Swan, Halley RP, Eliza M798026074, Dan K101, Fozzy Wolf, Zeno, Get a Tan Handley, James Alexander, Daniel Lukev, and Dave Swiss. Thank you very much for your contribution, and welcome to you, Stevie Fizz. How's your Christmas?
Horrible, Jono. Horrible as usual. Everything is bad in the world, but I just want to unpack things because there's been two things that have happened that's been, one's very good and one's very bad. And number one, I'm very happy that you and I, we've done it. This is our fourth, I think we started the podcast 4 years ago or 3 years ago and in about November. This is the first Christmas we haven't done any of the Die Hard is a Christmas movie shtick. And it's done.
But there has a new contender has come out that I've not thought of. Batman Returns.
Oh, no, that's absolutely. But it's okay. I just want to say, like, I'm done with it. Like, it's bad content at this point.
Like, I mean, I love it on the bands on Twitter, but we will not be mentioning on the show ever again.
I'm just so proud that we actually managed to hold off and not touch it because it's just so tired. It's the sort of thing Andy Ma would be doing and thinking is hilarious. So you know it's bad. But on the bad side, this is the last episode of the podcast.
That's it.
Because I tweeted at Roy from the Traders. They threw it up, a bit of an open question on Twitter. Baby Fizz is upset about the last podcast thing, apparently. He asked any questions, just throw it up and not fantasy footy. And I said, is Athylacines real? And he confirmed. So we'll be cancelling the Draft Doctors podcast and moving into the Athylacine podcast.
Absolutely. And we'll be moving down to Tassie, straight into the States and house as our base of operations.
Well, it was actually interesting because me and Mrs. Fizz and Baby Fizz, we had to go out to Avoca on Sunday, just escape the hustle and bustle of Ararat. It's just been killing us. So, yeah, take things down a notch.
Definitely. You've got to get away sometimes from the hustle and bustle of Ararat. And he has done the full-blown Cindy. Surgery is required. Out for the season. Welcome to you, Cam McLaughlin.
Yeah, I'm absolutely cooked. I don't really think I'd be drafted next year. And realistically, you know, tough to pick me up any time after that as well. I've got one point that I wanted to make about Ararat, Steve. Just in the hello section, there are four Australia Day awards in Ararat, and I reckon as the only resident or family of Ararat, you might be able to win all four. You have Ararat Ambassador, Multicultural Harmony, Community Spirit, and Inspiring Healthy Living. We're going to cut the last one off, actually. You probably can't win that. But Community Spirit, Multicultural Harmony, and Ararat Ambassador, you have locked away.
There's three of the four you can't win. The only one who's going to win is Multicultural. That's it. Steve is all about multiculturalism of Australia. He has no community spirit, and he's the most unhealthy person I've ever met.
Actually, that's actually true. I actually found out like about 2 months ago that I'm actually part of my ancestral history is Aboriginal. So I have got that going on for me.
There you go. I don't know what the first one is, but Steve's not winning it. That's for sure.
Community spirit, Jono. You know I'm all about the people.
Oh, absolutely. If people were cats, then All right, we do have a big show to get through today. Lots to talk about. We normally, when we do our fantasy face-off, it's either myself and Steve going head-to-head, or it's a one-on-one situation where two players are discussed, but we're throwing it open today where you, the listeners, have given us a bunch of players to discuss, and we're just going to go in it battle royal style and see who comes out the victor. Now, the first players to talk about, we've got Ryan Burton and Zach Williams. Now, if this is Supercoach, I am all about Zach Williams because he's certainly in that top 10 of defenders this year where I'm projecting him, whereas Ryan Burton's range could be anything from D2 to unrosterable. So I'm all about Zach Williams this year for me.
Yeah, I agree, Jono, and I'm with Zach, especially in Supercoach. I think it's a bit of a no contest, but I've got Zach Williams slightly ahead in both formats only because I think Ryan Burton's role is a bit up in the air.
Yeah, until we find out more about what he's actually going to do at Port Adelaide, and, you know, then he needs to figure out what he's going to do in Adelaide, because Adelaide's a bit of a, you know, boring town. But
Hey,
hot take.
I won't have
Zach, you keep digging yourself in
I
this
like Adelaide.
Adelaide game.
Adelaide's all right.
Oh, you
I
do.
Like
Adelaide.
Yeah.
Really?
Adelaide is a nice town. They've got some...
And a cat person. Oh, man. What have I got myself into?
What do you mean? What have you got yourself into? We'll just fucking ditch you.
Zach Williams in a no contest for me.
All right, moving on. We've got Brody Smith and Zach Williams in the head-to-head there. Your thoughts?
I'm actually Zach Williams again. So, and it's super tight, actually. I think Brody Smith will have a pretty good year. He was promising coming back after his injury last year, but for me, Zach Williams is going to have a bit of a blinder with the change in rules.
Yep, Matt, I agree on that one. Yeah. Brody Smith in the D3, D4 range for me this year.
I actually have them probably a bit closer than you guys, but I've got Zach Williams three spots ahead of Brody Smith, so I think it's pretty tight for your dream team formats. I will say I think Brody Smith is probably going to benefit from the new rule, and Zach Williams probably isn't the dream team jet that it's being made out to be. So I'm actually a bit more pumped the brakes on. I've still got Zach Williams. I've got him in D17 at the moment, but so I'm a probably
in AFL fantasy format.
Yeah, that's right, Jono. So and Brody Smith isn't someone I've been super high on, but I got Brody Smith at 20. I think the new rule benefits him. I can see him really taking some kickouts. So it's probably one of those kickout rule ones. If the kickout isn't worth three, then I'd probably slide Brody Smith a little bit further. Probably be mid 20s for the defenders.
Fair enough. Continuing the trend of Zach Williams, Zach Williams versus Callum Mills.
Oh, easy, Zach Williams.
Agreed.
Yeah, Zach Williams.
Teammates on the next one, Zach Williams and Heath Shaw. This one's actually an interesting one for me because we know Heath Shaw takes the majority kicking at GWS. Now, they could form a nice little 1-2 combo in defence there, a la Kay Simpson and Sam Doherty did with the Blues a couple of years ago, and there could be some points on offer there, especially in your Supercoach formats, where starting a scoring chain is worth a little bit more as well, especially for Heath Shaw there. So I'm actually on the fence on that one. I've got Heath Shaw up there, especially in my Supercoach format this year.
Yeah, I've got Zach Williams slightly in front at the moment, but again, I'm going to need confirmation on that kick-in rule, Jono.
Hmm.
Because, and to your point, Steve, Heath Shaw... He's got to be the slowest player in the league. He's just dreadfully slow. So where else would you have him? Anywhere else except for the kick-in?
Yeah,
probably
absolutely.
Not. Yeah,
and so, Zach Williams got the need for speed. So good.
Yeah, correct. Correct.
Moving on, we've got Lachie Neale and Lachie Hunter from the Western Bulldogs. Both average pretty similar in AFL fantasy, and not like Lachie Neale's about 10 points higher in Supercoach this year.
Battle of the Lockie. I love it. Neil.
Yeah, I've got Neil on quite easily, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in both formats for me as well. I've got Lockie Neil's top 10 midfielder for me this year. Hunter still playing around where I'm expecting him to see him fall because, as we know, Western Bulldogs so hard to predict.
Well, I think, and like the reason I have it that way is Lockie Neil's moved away from one of the best contested players in the game in Nat Fyfe, and we've seen what he's done away from that situation. And on the Western Bulldogs side, you've got Libba coming back into that side. You've got probably Bailey Williams coming back into that side. You know, he missed most of the second half of last year. John, I thought he was pretty good. And you've probably got Liam Picken coming back into that side at some point as well. So I have a lot of questions about the point scoring over at the Bulldogs.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Continuing the Lockie theme, Lockie Neal and Zach Merritt. I know, Steve, you had Zach Merritt right up there in your rankings earlier on when you released him.
Yeah, let me just bring them up really quick. They're actually back-to-back for me. And I've got Neal in at M5 and Zach Merritt in at M6. Look, it's not a strong take, so I'm not going to bitch about this one. But if Zach Merritt finished in front of him, I'm not going to go crazy.
One thing on Neal as well, that we have seen him shake a tag, unlike Zorko, so if it does go his way.
Well, and the interesting thing is, if you want, like, say you're picking at the back of the first round and you wanted to pick up Zach Merritt, like, I think Zach Merritt will probably go before Neal in most drafts. So there's no reason to say that you couldn't. I think they're definitely in the same tier. So you could pick up one and grab the other on the wrap if you felt that way inclined.
Agreed.
Yeah, you're going to have a great year if you have either of them. And Zerit for me just pips him. I don't know if West. Are we going to go head to head? Have you done your head?
I'm not going. And now I just need on that. I don't have
it's
a strong
it's
take.
So. Neither do I. It's too tight.
No, definitely not. Dane Beams versus Lockie Neal. This one, you should have them in separate tiers, you would think, and especially the question marks over the Collingwood midfield this year.
Yeah, I've actually got Dane Beams at M18 and Lockie Neal at M5. So they're worlds apart for me, and part of that is because I think going into that crowded midfield situation, the Dane Beams really reduces his ceiling, like we saw with Dangerfield and Ablett this year. When you add another superstar player, it really caps everyone's ability to shoot the moon. Like, they might all be fine on a yearly average basis, but I don't think you're going super high. And Dane Beams' injury history just is a killer. If someone wants to fight me on that, I'll fight.
Yeah, no, I agree on that one as well.
Yep, so I'm sitting around 14 for Beams. I actually think he's maybe over the hump of the injury history, but I agree it's terrible. But Neal, I have at 5 as well. So
I see. I'll push Beams down my list in the at the back end of that second round in the 20s, start of the 20s. I've just
that's
never
like
had
the
confidence
third
in Beams.
That's the third
start of the third round.
Well, the fourth round end because you're going to be adding in like defenders and forwards.
No, just for my midfields only, like in the where I've placed them.
Yeah. But if you're in the 20s in the mids, then you're in the forwards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I've never been super high on Dane Beams. Speaking of Dane Beams, it's himself versus Adam Treloar. Now, Steve, you just made a point of not having the ceiling. I think it actually affects both of these guys. We know Treloar's an absolute jet, but Treloar's never had that great ceiling like we've seen with Beams. So we have seen him score some 130s, 140s, but not as consistent as Beams if you have a look at his scores. So I see Treloar being that 110, 115 midfielder. But with Beams wasn't there, he could have pushed up to a 120, getting in that extra points.
These are his last five seasons in Dream Team. 103, 103, 111, 108, 108. Supercoach, 106, 105, 111, 101, 109. It's pretty fucking good, John.
I'm not saying it's not. I'm not saying it's
I don't
not,
know, man.
Without Beams there, I can see him projecting even further. He can go better.
Yeah. Well, the thing I like about... I think Treloar probably cops less of a hit than, say, your Pendles or your Taylor Adams, because he has the ability to win the ball on the inside and the outside.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying he won't improve. He'll maintain, but he won't improve.
No. He's not going to... If you're the person who can pick that, this was his career high in disposals. I don't think adding Dane Beams helps that.
Definitely not, no.
Sorry.
But I am still a Treloar man over Beams.
Absolutely.
The Pies midfielders versus each other. It's just going to be crapshoot. I think we've spoken about most of them throughout the other shows that we've ranked them who we like. I think we've had Treloar up there. I know you think side bottom's a slider. I've got Pendlebury as the slider, so it's just going to be a shit fight there for me, I think, with the Pies midfielders this year.
If I was to rank them 1 through 5-ish, it would be Treloar, Sidey, Beams. Probably looking at Pendles next, and maybe Taylor Adams may not even be in that top 5.
But I'm with Cam in the rankings. I think, and this question came through from Warnie. Warnie, honestly, do your own research, mate. Like, you know. Like, we're not getting paid shit, mate. You're getting those AFL dollars. Like, come on, man.
Going on a world tour over there. Private jet. Come on, mate. Yeah, Furphy exactly. Sponsorship. Come
three
on.
States in 3 days. Jesus Christ.
I have to pay for my beer. Yeah. It's rubbish.
It's a tough life, isn't it?
But seriously, Warnie, we need your input on the Thylacine podcast when that debuts.
Elliot Yeo and Matthew Crouch. Now, Matty Crouch can stay fit. I think he's on par with Elliot Yeo in terms of averages this year. Because, what was it, 2 years ago? Matty Crouch was leading disposal getter for the AFL. So, can find the pill. We know he gets a lot of it. His brother Brad is, I don't know, going to get injured somehow one way or another and will not play. So, it's going to be him and Sloan in that midfield. And yeah, I can't split the difference. I'd take both.
Yeah, and look, I'll go here because I had them really close together in my rankings. I've got Matty Crouch in front. If Gav had left, I would have had Elliot Yeo really, really high, and it would have been Yeo. But I'm just going to go with Matty Crouch, just a little bit safer. I know he had an injury-interrupted year, but we've seen what he can do. So I'm just a bit higher on Matty Crouch. Might be a bit closer in Supercoach. I think Elliot Yeo can win in a lot of ways in your Supercoach, but I still probably favour Matty Crouch just.
Yeah, Matty Crouch for me, he's my boy. He won me a final a couple of years ago, and he's come in his last 9 games for the year with an average of 116.2. So I know Elliot Yeo had a massive back half of the season, but so did Matty Crouch. And take away the injury from the first half of the season, he's going to be massive next year.
And played 30 more games than his older brother.
Who?
Exactly right.
Jeff Crouch? Martin Crouch? I don't know. Who's that?
Moving on. Matty Crouch again up against Zach Merritt.
Yeah, I've got Zerritt just.
Yeah, I have to take Zerritt. I think the addition of Dylan Scheel and that team just bolsters the midfield, and they're going to run a bit more protection for Zach Merritt because he is the main man in that midfield.
Yeah,
but it's going to be close. It will be close.
Super tight. Like, and these matchups where it's sort of like anyone within the top 10. Steve had a go at me maybe last week after we finished recording, and he's right. Like, you're not going to have a bad season if you draft one of the other. But you know, I think for me it's Zerritt out of the two.
Fair enough. Just right there. Nat 5 again against Matty Crouch. Now, if this is Supercoach, as Steve just said, I think 5 wins all day, every day. He had 5 average, 113 this year. Does he maintain and get the bump with Neil out of that team? I think so. He's just an absolute beast. And if I had a choice down to Matty Crouch and 5, I'm taking 5 all day, every day.
In Supercoach?
Supercoach, yeah.
Oh,
fantasy, there's a great point. You can go the other way.
Yeah, I've actually got them around the other way in the formats, Jono. I've got 5 top 5 in Supercoach. And I've got him in at 12 in my Dream Team rankings. Oh, sorry, 11 just in my Dream Team rankings. So I've got him just behind Matty Crouch. And it's really about the injury risk. And I think it's pretty well, I know hashtag injury prone is a thing, but I've got 5 just below Matty Crouch, and in fact a tier below. So if anyone wants to fight me on that,
not at all,
not for AFL fantasy. No,
yeah, he's not the Dream Team scorer that he is Super Coach. And I think Fife, you take Neil out of that midfield, he should go absolutely ham. And he's probably one of those guys like Blakely, where I think they can shoot the moon. The history just says be wary.
The next one. This is an interesting one. Josh Kelly and Nat Fyfe. Supercoach, can't split the difference on them. Both average 113 this year. But if we're talking dream team scoring, I'm looking at Josh Kelly this year. Have an absolute stellar year, so don't care what you say. If he stays fit, Josh Kelly, he will be a top three midfielder, hands down.
Oh, I think that's the wrong way around, to be honest. So I'm going Fyfe in both formats. I think Fyfe will have an absolute blockbuster year. I was reading an article the other day about Fyfe's back half of the year, and I was just about to do some research but haven't muted my mic. So I won't, and I'll go off the cuff. Fyfe is going to kick the shit out of Josh Kelly for the year.
I think this is going to be our first head-to-head.
I think it is. I've got Josh Kelly leading that midfield. You've got Dylan Shield leave.
Go! You boys. This is you boys. You boys go.
It's so awkward when it's so easy. Okay, fine. So, Nat Fyfe is an absolute beast when he's not injured. And even when he's injured, he's probably still a more comfortable fantasy scorer than Josh Kelly. Even when he's injured. All he has to do is look at the ball and he's touched it.
Well, Josh Kelly looks at the ball when he's injured and he's off for a couple of weeks. But this is a guy when... look what he did to Carlton. I know they're just little playthings, but he went absolutely ham. 40-odd disposals, couple of goals, 200 fantasy points in both formats, mind you.
No, it's 153 when was Dream Team. Let's just calm down.
Adding Mayo. Bit of Mayo on this one.
Fucking 50 points on
ever gone? When's Nat Fyfe ever gone 200? He's never done a 200, so stick that up your ass. It's Josh Kelly all the way for me.
Why would he need to go 200? I feel like those who go 200 drag their averages up for the year, and actually
this
the rest
is in
of the
round
year 21,
22, so it didn't matter.
Oh, that's actually a pretty good time to go 200, I'll concede that. But
especially in the finals, yeah.
Josh Kelly is a very good player. Nat Fyfe has a lot of players, or Lachie Neale, namely, that's left. He's going to pick up a lot of the ball work at Frio. I think we're all agreed on that. And the only thing that we're not agreed on is that, you know, you've picked the wrong player.
Steve, why don't you be the tie-breaking vote on this one?
Well, I think we're all losers because we just had to listen to you dickheads. So, look, my rankings would suggest that I like Josh Kelly quite a lot this season. I understand the Nat Fyfe infatuation, so I'm not going to declare a winner between you guys. I think they both have an enormous ceiling. I think they both obviously have a flaw. I would say Josh Kelly's flaw is probably lower, but I think Nat Fyfe's injury risk, based on his history of, what, 10 years in the league and only playing 20 games twice, is very real. So I've got Josh Kelly a full tier above Nat Fyfe. I would suggest I'm happier drafting Josh Kelly, but I'd really, really love to draft Nat Fyfe. But if I draft Nat Fyfe, that's going to affect the way I draft the rest of my team. Like if I draft, say I'm in my Supercoach draft, which is my, which I know that's a home league, and I'm pick 6, and Nat Fyfe gets through to me, which I think is a very real possibility, then if I'm looking at defender and say Rory Laird,
Lloyd
and Whitfield are off the board, I'm not taking Connor Blakely. And that's how it shapes it. I'm more likely taking a withered and maybe... is that fair?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, that's pretty fair. And I think they're both going to be great as well. My biggest reservation with Josh Kelly is that we saw the first injury last year, which held him out for 7 games or something similar. And that has me a little bit worried about, it's just cautious, right? It's not you can't base it off one injury, but it's just cautious going into next year.
We have 10 years of Nat Fyfe missing games and just getting drilled by tags. Think about it like this. And you can say, and I think player subtractions are probably the biggest thing in fantasy footy moving up in scoring. So you can go, Lachie Neale's out. Dylan Sheil is out of GWS's midfield. That's fucking great news. And if they replace him with Tim Taranto, well, Tim Taranto's averaged 90. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's got to be... That can't be bad news. It can only be good news for Josh Kelly going inside a fraction more, even if he stays on the outside. Like, it's... I don't think it's bad times at all.
Moving on now to Zach Merritt and Josh Kelly.
I've got Josh Kelly. I've got him at number three in my dream team rankings. I'm just so pumped about him.
Yeah, definitely. I'm the same.
Cam's going to spit fire here.
I've got no fire to spit. Again, it's tight. But I've got Zerit in at number
Portello.
Three.
You're going to spit at him?
I'm out of Portello. Thank you very much. People remember Schweppes Portello. Brilliant memories.
Portello's great. I've got to be honest. Portello would be pretty high up there in my soft drink rankings.
What is it, though? I don't understand what it is, but it tastes great.
It's kind of
like
a grapey flavour.
Creamy soda type thing? I don't know.
Creamy soda's the goat. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah, creamy soda's very, very good.
Nothing fucks with creamy soda. Creamy soda, Dr. Pepper, and then maybe Portillo.
What? Creaming soda. Dr. Pepper is not even... it's basically on... do you like children's Panadol? Because that's the same thing. I'll tell you what, though. I'm going Zerit as Portello and Kelly as a
creaming soda.
Like a lime something. You know, those lime cooler?
I don't mind lime.
Flavor.
Lime's good. Yeah. The Schweppes lime's good.
Schweppes flavor.
Yeah. I don't think we... Do we need to go into that battle?
No.
No. It's too tight.
We've just
got... We can go to Withered and Whitfield.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one.
I think it's a ball breaker, and I really want to see the plus three. I've got Withered and just behind at the moment. It's not by a great deal. Again, I think the Shield thing... kind of matters. We don't know about the plus three, but I really, really, they're, to me, actually have them in the same tier. So I don't think it's like there's a top three defenders like Laird, Lloyd, and Whitfield. I actually think it includes Withered and Blakely.
Yeah, I could see Whitfield come in and Withered and gain this year. So there's not going to be too much between them. But there's also the chance Whitfield gets plonked on a wing again and goes back to averaging bugger all, but he does.
I don't think that happens. And, you know, you're only relying on Brett Deledio's health to make that happen.
So I was actually looking at this, and you know what? He did score, it was like 2 years of 83, which is average, and then 97 was his last on a wing before he went to the halfback.
Yeah,
that's still pretty darn good for a defender.
And that's coming off a banned preseason, remember?
Yeah, yeah,
that's true. That's true.
So, no, I've got no qualms about Lockie Whitfield.
No. But do you have qualms about Connor Blakely or Alex Witherden?
I think this is one of the biggest debates of the fantasy preseason, and I'm here to tell you I have them back to back, and I've got Witherden slightly in front.
Where do you have them ranked?
4 and 5, D4 and 5. And I think that's going to be the most common place.
And what format's that?
Dream Team. And I think it'll probably match over to Supercoach pretty easily.
I don't think it would. I think Witherden shits all over him in Supercoach.
No, I think it's a bad
I'm not a fan of Blakely. Never have been. That whole never played a full season.
Yeah.
This whole thing of him going into the midfield, going to take Neil's points, it's... Until we see it, then I'm not buying it.
This is my thing. We've seen it.
We have seen him.
Yeah.
But we don't know who's going to fill that void until we actually see Fremantle run out onto the park come, February?
Chano, have you seen Witherden go big?
Yes.
How big?
Oh, I can get a scores for you.
Because, my biggest thing...
I'm looking at it more as Supercoach. Supercoach than... fantasy.
I've seen Blakely go massive is my dilemma, and so I think this might be what Steve's alluding to in regards to the massive battle. I think Witherden gets a huge bump from the kick-in rule if it comes in. The scoring if it comes in. Blakely's injury history is frightening, but his ceiling is so big. And so, I've got Witho just in front.
If anyone said to me at the end of the season, Blakely's going to be the D1, I wouldn't be shocked. And that to me is why he's in the same tier as your Lloyds and Lairds and that.
Witherden went 131 this year and 125.
Yeah, but the thing is, Witherden's, like, we've seen Blakely go 140. And when he was playing midfield for Fremantle, he was playing like 65% game time. Like, now he's got more pre-seasons in the bank. Like, he doesn't need that rest. If that, and this is purely speculation, that he gets that midfield time. The thing is, if he plays in defence and you've got him ranked as your D5 and you draft him as the D5, I don't think he's going to shit the bed. Like, he's not going to cost you a league. But if you draft him as the D5 and he goes pure mid, he could brain it for you. Like, I think it's a real... I think he's a real team...
There's more upside to him than within the same.
Yeah, of course there's more upside to him. Yeah. There is more upside to him, but there's more risk.
Definitely.
So,
but you know how I like to draft. I like to draft safe. So
no, I understand that, and that's probably why you lost our home league last year, because you didn't build. You know, it was all steak, no sizzle.
Fucking Joel Hamling in my team. That's why.
Hey, he turned up, baby. No, look, and no, not to take a shot, but you know, you got to take it when you can. I think you need a little bit of sizzle every now and again. Like, you have to take that calculated risk at some point in your draft where there's just pure upside, even if it doesn't pan out. I'm not saying you build your team that way, but say you drafted very safe, very safe midfielders in the first two rounds or whatever, or you drafted a midfielder in the first round who was really safe, you picked up Blakely in the second round, and then you know that you probably should take guys who aren't going to shit the bed in the third and fourth round. Like, that's... If that makes sense, John. Like, you're not going to draft Blakely and then Gary Ablett. Like, I think if you take one risk... Well, Cam's got 87 Geelong players, and his team name's Bobby Davis. Like,
that's a good name, though. It's a very good name.
Nah, moving on. Marcus Bontempelli versus Connor Blakely.
Well,
obviously, one's a defender and one's a midfielder.
Oh, I can't take Bont before Blakely.
Blakely.
One's a defender, and he's probably going to average more anyway.
In AFL fantasy,
no,
yes.
In either. Job.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. I'm not going to argue on it.
No, but think about it like this: Western Bulldogs—they're going to bring in all those guys we mentioned before when we were talking about Hunter. I know Bont's a gun, but he seems like the most likely forward because they've obviously lost the three goals Dalhouse kicked in his 20 games last year.
It's a lot of goals. That's
Picking a Libertore I can go and do.
Oh, you know what I mean. They could average.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the Western Bulldogs, what about Josh Dunkley and Toby McLean?
See, I think this is the biggest dilemma.
I think it's the second biggest, because forwards matter less than defenders.
Okay, fair. Team Dunkley at the moment, but change going through preseason.
I'm Team Dunkley as
well. How about it, boys?
Ooh, Team Dunkley.
So you're Team McLean.
I'm Team McLean. As much as I love Dunkley, I'm more inclined that Toby McLean will be the more constant in that midfield.
I'm actually surprised that there's strong takes on this.
Well, I can see...
Do you want to go, Cam? Because I haven't gone with Jono yet. You went the last time.
No, you're on. Go nuts. Yeah.
Fire away, Steve.
Oh, well, you can go, because I just have to bring up my sheet. Sorry.
No, I just see Dunkley going back and playing that lockdown, pressuring forward like Luke Dalhouse did in the last couple of seasons. I mean, yes, he will get his midfield rotations, but McLean, before he got injured, he was the main man in that midfield. He was taking a lot of the centre bounces, and McLean only went in there due to the McRae injury, and did actually do a good job playing as the tagging role. So I think last one in is the first one out, so that's where I see Dunkley. I mean, Dunkley's still under 20 years old or 21 years old, so he will get his time in that midfield.
Yeah, look,
it's very close. It's very close.
I've got him back to back. I've got him back to back, and I've got Josh Dunkley just in front. And my strength is in this: is that I envision Tom Liberatore going back into that midfield, and I envision Marcus Bontempelli spending more time forward. The thing that Josh Dunkley does better than Toby McLean is win the ball on the outside more. He's had more games of winning 20-plus disposals in an uncontested fashion, and that is why I have Josh Dunkley higher. I just think he has more ways to score across the board than Toby McLean. I don't think either of them are going to cost you your draft. And I think you can draft both of them as your F1. And I'm quite happy to take the one that falls in the draft. If Josh Dunkley gets drafted, I'm quite happy to draft Toby McLean after him and vice versa. But I think it's a really tight one, but I'm really happy to have Josh Dunkley just in front of him.
Yeah. Oh, look, I'm same with you, but I just prefer McLean. I think his role's a bit more clear-cut than Dunkley.
Well, I think that's actually mistaken, to be fair, because I think we've seen Josh Dunkley take the tagging role, whereas we've never seen Toby McLean take the tagging role. So, I think he's got...
the size and height of Toby McLean? He's like a midget, whereas Dunkley's at least 100... He's almost 190 centimetres and a ball.
Oh, so hashtag injury-prone Toby McLean... No, I'm just joking. But I think he's got more roles within the midfield as well, Josh Dunkley.
More tricks up his sleeve, you say?
Yeah, well, I think that's fair.
That's fair. Yeah.
And just to tie break this, well, not tie break, but 2 cents, I think Dunkley has... I look at how many games the Bulldogs lost with McLean in the midfield and then the upside on the end of the season, and that might have been tied to Dunkley, but I was going to ask you, Jono, did they perform better with Dunkley in the mid or with McLean in the mid?
I'm going to say I've had a lot of alcohol this Christmas period. He's
going back to his old crutch, people.
I was drunk. Dunkley. I would say Dunkley performed better, but also... Luke Beveridge learned how to coach and played players in position.
No, he didn't. No.
Yes, he did.
So, Tim English, back pocket.
Yes,
that's
of course.
Thing. It's like Josh Dunkley.
Toby McLean's going to be playing ruck.
Josh
Dunkley played ruck.
Toby McLean, DPP, hot take. First hot take.
I no wonder they traded out Roughhead, because Lin Jong should be fit to go in that ruck, baby.
Damn straight.
He's played like... Dunkley's played 20 less games and he's already shown better ways to score. Like, I'm happy to have that one. Anyway, fair enough.
Moving on.
I've got no beef. I've got no beef with you, to be honest, on that one.
Speaking of beef, it's actually pretty good for lunch meat in your sandwiches. And he is up against Josh Dunkley. Lunch meat, Devon Smith against Dunkley. I don't think there's any take on this. Devon Smith will be the number one forward in all formats.
Devon.
What?
No, number two forward.
Number two, Danger.
Oh, Danger, sorry, yeah.
Lunch meat will be, crush Dunkley. Go on.
Yep. But will Chad Wingard crush Jesse Hogan?
Yes.
I reckon it'll be closer than you think.
Nah, I'm busting for a piss, man, so...
Oh, no.
I don't know, can you guys just talk for like 5 minutes and I'll be back?
Okay, we'll talk about it. So, Cam, the way I see it, what are your thoughts on it first before I get into my bit?
Yeah, I might have been Team Hogan and then it's just going to be like dead air for the next 5 minutes. Brilliant.
I'm in both camps, but more Jesse for me.
So I'm going Wingard only because he can play through the midfield, and when he does, he scores big. I think Jesse Hogan will have a ripper year. Sounds like I'm sitting on the fence, and actually I'm changing my own mind as we go through, and I'm thinking actually maybe Jesse Hogan's going to be a bit better. All right, Jono, you convinced me with all your talk, and Jesse Hogan.
Yes! Science, bitch! No, the way I see why they got Chad Wingard is they're replacing one Cyril Rioli. What was Cyril? He was that pressuring goal sneak forward, kick you 20, 30, 40 goals a year, and slight rotation through the midfield. I see exactly the same thing for Chad Wingard at Hawthorn. He's going to be playing the Cyril Rioli role, playing majorities at small forward, rotate a little bit through the midfield when he can. Obviously got better hamstrings, only slightly better hamstrings than Cyril did. So Yeah, Chad Wingard is not why I'm... but Jesse Hogan, he's the man at that Fremantle Footy Club. The number one target there with Rory Lobb. Will push up into the midfield as well. All about Jesse Hogan over Chad Wingard next year.
Yeah, I'll take that as well. And what do you think, Steve? Yeah, I think Jesse Hogan as well. Awesome, Steve. Good take. Okay, so what else we got now? I know, it's an incredible
balls
impression.
Just ride back up inside him, do they?
Yeah, no, he's come out with who he actually is, and that's how Steve actually talks. He puts on a deep voice for everyone on the pod.
And it's now Stephanie.
Yeah.
What the fuck happened?
Oh man, he's back!
yeah, I'm probably just a bit on Team Chad. Were you guys on Team Hogan?
Yes, I was.
You know,
yeah,
Melbourne,
Team Hogan.
Melbourne handy team, Fremantle less handy. That was the thing. I think there's a world where Jesse Hogan is fine, but I find it really hard to believe he's averaging 2.5 goals a match, which he kind of needs to be relevant. Chad, I actually think he gets more midfield time than maybe we've spoken about in the podcast. I actually think there's a reason Hawthorn went out and got him. I'm pretty bullish on Chad Wingard. Anyone who's all Australian in their second season is pretty handy. Jono, talking about Sirioli, mate, he's never played less than 18 games in a season. So let's just cool the Jets on that. And I think the problem with Jesse Hogan, especially being of a lower club, is that there's actually going to be more variance in his scores. Like, I think Chad, it's going to be really hard for him to throw in those sub-70 games. I know all of them will, but I just think there's going to be more variance with Jesse Hogan. So I actually have Jesse Hogan sliding quite a great deal this season, and I think he's going to be overdrafted. And I think Chad Wingard's going to be a really good value. So I think I'm certainly on the Team Chad side, to be honest. There's so much room in that Hawthorn midfield to score points.
Jake Stringer was all Australian in his second year, and look how that turned out.
Yeah, but we've seen one go through the midfield with a high ceiling. Like, I don't think...
Glad you added that last part there.
I'm sorry, do you think Alistair Clarkson's a better a coach than Ken Hinckley? Like, we see him recruit players with a purpose. Now, look, fair to say, like, it could happen that he plays forward pocket and totally shits the bed from a fantasy point of view and is only good from a real footy point of view. I find it really, really hard to believe that that's the case.
I think he's predominantly going to play the Sewell role, but with more time in the mid. So it's not going to be that ceiling you expect, but it's... just temper the expectations of what Chad's output's going to be.
If you're a Supercoach player, John, like you are, Cyril's been really handy for Supercoach.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
And if the new rules favour someone who can win at one out in the forward line, Chad Wingard, that's his wheelhouse. Oh, sorry, wheelbag.
Wheelbag, please get the terminology right.
Got it right.
Thank you. All right, Jesse Hogan and Tommy McDonald is the next matchup.
I've got Tommy Mac shitting this in. Like, I've got Tommy Mac as a... I've got Tommy Mac as my F7 in front of Buddy Franklin.
Wow.
Wow.
So it looks like you're a Tommy Mac fan by that face you made there, Cam.
Oh, my goodness. Can you read me out the list before that?
It was sent through on the show, Doc, a couple of days ago, so...
No, the list before Tommy Mac for Stevie Fizz's ranking.
Oh, in terms of forwards, I can read them out.
Yeah.
So I got Danger 1, Devon 2, Heaney 3, McLean 4, Dunkley 5, Menegola 6, T-Mac.
Wow.
Why is that fucking wow?
Why isn't it wow? That's more wow than World of Warcraft. This is like...
Because it's T-Mac and he's like vanilla forward that no one gets excited about. Yes, he's a great fantasy scorer.
But I just think... So what? Look, maybe it's a disposition that I've had for too long with Tommy Mac, and I just think, you know, key forward, so what? But I think you have people like Tim Kelly. I rate Hogan over T-Mac. I'd go even your aging Mundy, your Westhoff, you know, there's a lot of people that I'll have before Tommy Mac, someone who takes a mark and kicks a goal and is 100% reliant on those two things.
So, okay, so, like, and I I understand that, but you've just had someone average 90 Dream Team and 97 Super Coach in their first season as a key forward. And what did Melbourne do? Oh, I'm sorry. They shifted out the person who demands the most targets inside 50. Do you think Melbourne's going to be a good team, Cam? Because I do.
I do.
I think they're going to be good.
Yeah, fucking oath. I'm sorry. Do the new rules allow for more open play and maybe, I don't know, an athletic freak contested marking monster like Tommy Mack getting on the end of a few?
Chopping the arm, pushing the back. Hello, more free kicks. Hello, more points.
I think it's Tommy Mack's wheelhouse, baby. Wheelbag.
Wheelbag, yeah. I don't accept any wheelhouses here. And let's be fair. What is a wheelhouse? They're just as bad as each other, right?
I don't know what a wheelhouse is. Well, what's the argument?
A caravan?
Is it Hogan and T-Mac? Sorry, one's
Hogan
playing
and T-Mac.
One's playing for a bottom four team. One's playing for a top four team. One's averaged more than the other, like, in his first fucking go at doing it. And the other has left that situation. You're throwing Hogan in with a wheelbag of Cam McCarthy and who was the other jobbers
Matt
who they got? Rory Lobb and Matt Taberner and all these shit kickers. So I
just feel, yeah.
Which team's going to move the ball better, Cam?
Look, Steve, I think we know that Melbourne is going to be a better team than Fremantle.
Okay,
but I don't accept
fine.
That.
That's fine.
I don't accept that as an argument because Tommy Mack, and the reason that I don't accept it is that Tommy Mack is going to cop more attention than he did last year. He was not the key forward for Melbourne.
Hogan missed the last half dozen games and was the sole key forward.
No, he actually
and was
didn't.
Fine.
He actually didn't. He missed like one. But how did Charlie Kurnow go last year? Is Charlie Kurnow a better player than T-Mac? Of course
he is. Is he a better fantasy scorer?
No. Is he a better player? Of course
shit's
he is.
All over. Yeah,
exactly. But does that matter because his team can't move the fucking ball?
So what I'm worried about is the same argument, I think. So Charlie Kurnow was the sole key forward for Carlton, even though he wasn't getting as much ball, as many inside 50s, there's still so many opportunities for him to get the ball, but because he's the one guy, you know, he copped all the attention, and I think that T-Mac, you know, who else is there now?
Wiedemann actually performed at the back end.
Yeah, but who else that's good?
Petrarca? I think you're missing the point, man. I don't think it matters who's good.
It's just a target. They've got such an even spread of goal kickers, it's not funny. Melbourne.
Which actually plays less into T-Mac's hands.
Take a contested mark, so he'll be grabbing the ball.
He's a beast on a lead. He's a beast on a contested mark. Melbourne led the league 60 inside 50s a game. Fremantle, 48. 48!
All right, so another question. I want to zero in on your draft ranking for him, 7, right? What average do you think he'll get?
I think he's 90. If the new rules benefit the forwards, then he could go 95.
See, I think Hogan can go 90. I don't think he can go 95.
No, I don't think he can. I don't think he can.
Okay.
Unless he just plays pure mid.
Which he won't. Right?
No, so and that's the point. Like, I don't think it happens. This has really pissed me off, Cam.
Oh, yeah.
Well, next.
You know what else sucks? Dr. Pepper. It's fucking terrible.
Go back to Queensland and drink your Forex.
Nothing wrong with a few mangoes, mate.
Well,
mangoes
I'm sure
actually
Robinson
suck.
Likes
haven't we
4X.
Done that? Mangoes are terrible. We've done that bit.
What? I like mangoes.
Mangoes are shit.
What? I don't even know how look at him sipping his
Budweiser.
Anyway,
Mitch Robinson, David Mundy all day every day.
Mundy. It's not particularly close either, to be honest.
Oh no. Dom Tyson, Aaron Hall. I'll take neither.
It's actually a fair question given they're both pure mids. I'll take
Hall because he's got the upside.
Yeah, I'll take Hall because he's got the upside. I don't
know.
Really
you know I'm going Tyson.
Yeah.
But it's such a hard... Like, to be fair, I think you can't make a decision on this until you see the JLT. Like, this is so hard.
It's not even that. I'm just not strong on either one of them.
Nick Newman, Jared Pollock.
Well, one's a defender and one's not. I'm Nick. It has to be Nick Newman. Like, Pollock can't do what he did last year, can he? Not in North Melbourne.
No. Gus Brayshaw, Paddy Cripps. Paddy Cripps, super coach. And I think it gets even in terms of Dream Team. It's close in Dream Team.
Yeah, I've got Paddy Cripps just in front. Sorry, they're one tier apart, sorry. I have Angus Brayshaw just a tier behind Paddy Cripps.
Yeah, I can see that. In Dream Team.
Well, in both.
Oh, in both, okay.
Yeah, I'm about the same. I think Cripps will have a better year. Gus had a brilliant year, and he's a good little player, and he's never going to be a chance of a tag, but I don't think he can go to the lofty heights that he had this year.
I wish that question was Oliver, because then I could have spat fire.
Well, do you want me to change the next one? Next one's Gus Brayshaw and Yeo. How about Oliver v. Yeo? That's no contest.
Oh, no, I actually think that's very close. I'd be on Yeo, though.
Really?
Yeah. I think Oliver slips.
With the shoulders or just...
No, with Jack Viney. He averages less with Jack Viney.
Jack Viney's...
I agree. Sorry, what was the actual question from the actual
Gus
people?
Brayshaw and Yeo.
They're actually back-to-back for me, and I've got Yeo at 12 and Angus Brayshaw at 13.
I wouldn't be disappointed having it either in my team. Anthony Miles and Dan Hand. Cam, put your case forward for the Anthony Miles camp.
It's again, this is a really tight one to split. So I've gone Anthony Miles because I thought it would disappoint Statesman, and that's about it. I think he's probably going to play midfield all year. He's proven that he can score well in the past. So is Hannes, though. So it's sort of a bit of a 50-50. Hannes has a proven track record, all Australian. Miles, you know, best player in the VFL, maybe. I don't know. But I think he'll be the guy who gets the ball at the Gold Coast Suns. So from a fantasy perspective, I'm going Miles.
Well, Hannes did have that hammy scare just before Christmas there, so already already off the track. So it's got to be a concern. But they're off on a 3-week break, so you can rest up.
Oh, it's Hannes. It's Hannes.
Hannes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's particularly close, to be honest. I think it's a really bad take. So.
No, I'm all about Hannes for me.
Think about it this way. If someone has a great first 4 weeks of the season, Jono, fucking what are you giving up for Anthony Miles?
Packet of Tim Tams when they're on special at Coles.
What are you giving up for Hannes? Fractionally more.
Yeah. Isaac Heaney, Tim Kelly.
Yeah, I got Heaney. It's not particularly close either.
I got Heaney. Heaney's top five forward for me this year. Kelly, his range can be anything this year for me, so I'm still floating him around him up and down. But I'd be looking him in the teens, probably.
Camber? There, Geelong, man? Come on, Camber.
Also Heaney. No contest.
No contest, baby.
There you go.
Look at him stroke his mustache. Yeah, fucking all geez, over for the
actually
cats,
was.
Mate.
I didn't even know I did over. That. Jeez.
It's all over for the... That's my monocle. That's your... it's like your poker tell. It's like,
oh, yeah.
It's like I'm telling a lie, but I can't let anyone know it. It's not Tim
Heaney,
Kelly, Cam.
See? No.
It's not Tim Kelly. I can see it's your not. Ranking sheet, and I know it says Heaney, but it's not Tim Kelly, Cam. It's not.
I actually had to double check. It's no good. Oh, shit. Oh, no.
Luke
never mind.
Shuey, and it says Steele. I'm not too sure if it's Jack Steele or Steele side bottom.
It's Jack Steele. Got to be Jack Steele.
Jack Steele?
Yeah.
I got a bit of interest in Jack Steele this year.
Yeah, I think it's a really fair point.
Shuey, with Gaff back, I think, regresses. And Jack Steele, we know he can score. He can only play midfield, so I'm liking what Jack Steele's going to put out this year.
I think Shuey stays exactly the same. He's a consistent mid. He'll get you 93. And I think Steele has maybe another gear to kick into this year.
Yeah, I see Steele breaking the ton.
Yeah, I'm on Team Steele as well, and it's not because I think one's a better player than the other, because I don't. But from a fantasy point of view, Jack Steele has been really, really good. He had the third-year breakout like you like. Coming into his fifth season, you really like that. He's performed well. He's shown a really high ceiling. The only issue is Dan Hand came into that midfield, and really don't like that from a fantasy point of view. So this is one of those ones where I think they're probably going to be both in the same tier for a lot of people. So if you need someone who's safe, I think you'd probably draft Shuey. And if you need a bit of upside, I think you'd probably take Jack Steele.
Are you looking at him at your M5 range?
You'd probably like them as your M5, but that's probably going to be team construction sort of situation. If you're in, definitely, say, a 3-4-1-3 league, maybe you take Steele.
Dan Hannigan against his teammate Jack Billings, a man who has burnt us multiple times.
I'm pretty comfortable in saying Jack Billings. Different positions, but...
Yeah, once Richo's been sacked and Ratton's in, it's Jack Billings' midfield time all the way, and especially with that forward status, all about Jack.
Well, this is my thing with Jack Billings. Sorry, Cam, you can give us your take.
Nah, it's rubbish.
Sweaty armpits of yours
as well.
Mm-mm. It's what?
Look at the sweaty pits he's got.
Well, you've just ruined his self-confidence now. He's not doing anything, but you're talking over him.
How do I recover from that?
You don't. You fuck off.
I'll go Billings over Hannes.
Yeah, and I think it's really easy. It's just the positional thing, and so I've got Billings in it, the F-teens range. He's F-13 at the moment, but that could very easily change. I don't think Billings was super bad last year. It was just everyone drafted him with these massive expectations. Like, if you took the expectations away and you drafted him F-10, you wouldn't be going, it was terrible, but he was a top three forward.
JJK v. J-Roo.
Yeah, give me JJK. I know he's injured, but I don't give a shit.
I think J-Roo for Dream Team scoring. Mm-hmm. Just the way they're going to set up J-Roo might push up a bit more than... I know we've spoken about it, but I think J-Roo's the one that pushes up the ground. And then Handsome Tom, who plays like his cousin, just grabs a few more marks. But again, we wait for the JLT and see how they actually... It could be a rotation, we don't know. We just don't know, but I've got a bit more interested in J-Roo. He doesn't miss JJK. He's got glass ankles, so very unreliable.
What do you mean? He's played like 20 games the last like 5 seasons aside from the last two.
Well, there you go. And he's 30 years old. I suppose J-Root's 30 years old, but he's never missed, and I just like it. I know JJK's got more upside in terms of bigger score, bigger ceiling, but I think J-Root's more consistent next year.
Consistently what? Last year was his best year by a freaking landslide.
Yeah, but I can see him not so much maintain. He might drop one or two, but with a different sort of role.
One or two what? Like,
points.
That was his...
With hands.
Yeah, when they won the premiership, he's gone up 7 points. Like, he's been a high 70s averaging player for the last 6 years before last year. JJK is basically 80s across the last 5. Aside from last year, he was playing busted.
I like J-Roo for next year.
Fair enough. Don't go trying to throw fake news in the story, though, Jono. Oh, no, he's done this. Well, actually, he hasn't. Grant Birch. When was the last time Grant Birchall averaged 85? 1987.
3 years ago?
Yeah.
He
hasn't
played for 2 years.
You've retired him nicely, haven't you?
Well, I was finishing up my defending rankings. I'm like, oh, there's Grant Birchall. Do not draft.
Last time Grant Birchall averaged 85 in 2015 in Supercoach, 2012 in Dream Team.
Nick Caulfield and Hunter Clark.
Yeah.
Hunter Clark for me.
Hunter Clark.
Cold, Logan, Austin.
So I'm going Hunter Clark off the basis of the group that he's training with and not much else. So he's training with the mid group. Doesn't mean he's going to play. I'm not drafting either of them.
Not when they've got 50-odd averages for the year.
But I'm very excited to see Hunter Clark develop.
This might be just a
stash for keeper?
A keeper thing, yeah. I'll probably take Caulfield just because he's the halfback. And that might be where there's some questions because Dylan Robertson is maybe training under the Universal Soldier program and Shane Savage
just
is...
just going to go cut everyone's ears off and make a nice neck place.
Oh, so good, isn't it, Joe?
Love it.
I knew you'd be down with that reference.
I can't hear you.
How good is it?
Love it. Powell, Pepper, and Hopper. kind of leaning towards Power Pepper.
Strong team hopper. Very strong team hopper.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, go at it, boys.
Ugh. So I feel like Hopper is going to benefit significantly from the Shield departure. Everyone said that Taranto is going to benefit, but you've look at the one guy who is exclusively a ball winner in that midfield. You've got Whitfield as an outside runner.
So Caniglio and Kelly can't win their ball?
No, they absolutely can and will win their ball. But the guy who is going to be the in and under midfielder predominantly will be Hopper in the next 2 years. This year, I expect him to get a significant bump. Power Pepper, I've got questions over his time on ground, his role, his...
Instagram.
The Instagram is terrible.
He's an ugly man, let's be honest.
Why does he look like that? Man.
Why does he look like that?
It's really
offensive.
Why
do you look like you?
Well, I look like
He actually
me.
Looks like Jono. That's the problem.
He does. He totally does.
Without glasses. So he is one handsome man. If you're very drunk and got multiple beer goggles on.
Team Hopper, though. I bet it, yeah, Team Hopper.
Nah, Power Pepper for me, he has been building. He has changed up his dietary ways. I do think with Rocky being older and unreliable, and it's going to be him and Wines as that 1-2 combination in that midfield for a long time. They're going to build around them. And, look at his back half of the year. He actually had a pretty good back half of the year, Power Pepper. So I think he's going to continue on with that next year. Averaged just under 80s. So I know it's not great, but he is building. Still quite young. So especially given in the keeper league. I'm loving it.
You know Rockliffe is turning 29 next year, right?
But the body of a 75-year-old, yes.
I don't know. Like I feel like the Rockliffe injury... Yeah, go on.
Can you just hold that thought, Cam? Just hold that thought. Because Jono said his back half of the year was really good. These are his last four scores. Sam Power Pepper. 46, 56, 51, 58, Dream Team. 36, 59, 55...
What was his middle like then? I've done a lot of research today off 4 hours sleep, so...
I'm not sure you have.
I've done a lot of writing, that's for sure.
Build a wall! We've got to build a wall!
I need money to build a wall around South Australia. Keep them out.
Oh my goodness. Lock in Hopper.
Yeah, I'm actually on Team Power Pepper, to be honest. Purely for the no Chad... third year situation. I actually thought Hopper had enough midfield time last year. I know he's going up against really high quality players within that midfield, but he'll be going up against high quality players again this midfield. I think Sam Power Pepper probably has a better chance to win the ball on the outside. Is that a fact? No, it's not. But better tackle rate. Just give me the guy who's had the subtraction in probably... I don't know. I think they're pretty safe, pretty similar guys. It's not a super strong take, but I'm pretty Team Power Pepper. Could be wrong. Could be very wrong on this one. I think Taranto steps in quite easily into that midfield role, though. Whereas with Port, so. I'm a little bit more cagey about how it gets shaken down.
Jimmy Webster and DBJ from Port Adelaide.
Webster.
Webby.
We've got a triple threat match here. It's Jack Billings, Christian Petracca and Jack Martin.
Wait, what?
It's a triple threat match. Jack Billings, Christian Petracca and Jack Martin.
God damn.
I think in Billings track Martin for me. Or Martin track. It's close for them two.
No, actually, I think I've got Billings track Martin, but I think it's closer between Billings and track, especially in Supercoach. Yeah.
It's an interesting one. Interesting one without seeing, knowing tracks and Martin's numbers.
Yeah, I'm really happy. I'd be really interested. I'm really interested to draft Petracca this year. I get the feeling he's going to go ham.
I felt that the last 2 years as well. And every year I draft him, and then I drop him by round 5.
Well, as much as I hate to give the great man any sort of credit whatsoever, the Statesman will tell you that pre-seasons matter. And we know Petracca has had the ACL, has had the busted foot over the next preseason, and I think he's coming into what would be his third preseason. He had a lot of really good games last year, and I think you subtract Jesse Hogan from that team, and it could lead to really good things for a high-quality player. And the fact the guy can go out and win 20 contested possessions in a game makes me go, this guy's an absolute beast. And we've spoken about him maybe being a slow burn like Paul Chapman, but I'm really, really interested in Christian Petracca, and I don't think I'll be leaving many drafts without him this year.
Again, I'll have to look at his numbers, but that's how I will say it. Billings track Martin for me, but could swap him around. If you got number one pick, who are you going? Tom Mitchell, Brody Grundy?
Titch.
Levi Casbolt, Liam Jones.
This is the third biggest of the year.
It is.
It's got to be Batman, doesn't it? Liam Jones? You know he's going to play. Casbolt, they've got some up-and-coming forwards, so he might not even be playing in the seniors.
Well, Mitch McGovern snapped his back in half today, so... I think...
DeConing and McKay and all that, so...
I think what I'd do is grab a whole bunch of baby wipes. Like, I'm not talking like one or two packets, I'm talking like 4,000 baby wipes. And just push them into my toilet and just flush repeatedly until my house flooded with shit water. And I died.
Yeah, it's what I'd written as well, actually. It's amazing. The standard reaction.
Does anyone want to debate Levi Casbolt against shit water?
I think shit water wins every day. Salad for brekkie or a hole in the head?
Oh, it's a hole in the head, surely.
Hole in the head.
Yep, yeah. That's what I've got written down. Now, this is a tough one. Garlic aioli versus chipotle aioli.
Fight to the death.
Chipotle.
Okay, chipotle. Best friends.
Chipotle I will take, but garlic is right up there.
Garlic's shit.
I love garlic.
Garlic's
okay. But chipotle wins.
I'm team chipotle, I will, you know... Garlic aioli is something that I would willingly accept and bathe in if needed.
No, garlic's... Oh.
So you what, you wouldn't have garlic aioli on your suva? You'd have chipotle aioli.
No, I'd have garlic sauce. That's in my... Yeah. I'm thinking on chips.
Oh, chips. Yeah, chipotle every day of the week. Do we take Fizz or Mrs. Fizz?
Probably Mrs. Fizz.
It's got to be Mrs. Fizz.
You have to say that.
She's smaller and cleaner than me.
I'm going to argue and say, I'm going to take Fizz.
Let's argue. Let's go, Cam.
You ready?
You
ready?
All right. You argue for me.
Yeah. Fuck, I should have thought about that before I said it, though.
Yeah.
I'll take Mrs. Fizz.
Yeah. You know, and this is my trump card, just in case you had any rebuttal that promoted me in what's the way. She doesn't really drink at all. So she's always great for a designated driver.
Mrs. Fizz.
Massive ace up the sleeve.
Yeah. And still no ring on that finger. Jesus.
Oh, John. Fuck.
Yeah. Good thing she can't hear you.
I'll tell you what. I want to talk about this story because I was livid. Because I went to... I'm looking... Just the people who are listening to the podcast, they can't see me looking over my shoulder. But I went to do the D, so it speaks.
Ooh.
So, you have to go to a certain shop that sells a certain thing, right? That rhymes with thing. Okay, so I went in there and it was like the other Sunday, and I'm like, yeah, just give me that one. That's fine, right? And it cost a certain price, which I'm the poorest man in fantasy football, so it could have been $3 for all we know.
One of those supermarket ones that, you know. Yeah. Ring out the front of the supermarket for a dollar.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what it was. So I'm like, yeah, that's fine. And I said, oh, does it cost any more to get it?
Resized directly is what you're after.
Yeah, thanks, Cam. Good.
Gotcha, buddy.
Good work there. You knew what I was doing. And they said, no. So I said, fine. They said, pick it up Wednesday. I went in there Wednesday. And they've jacked the price up 20%. And I'm going, fucking hang on. You said X price, and it's gone up this X amount, which is 20%, and they go, oh, we've got to talk to so-and-so, the sales clerk. I'm like, fucking, all right, here we go. And so the sales clerk comes out, oh, yeah, no, we spoke about this. It was like this 3-year care package and blah. I'm like, no, you fucking didn't. I was there. I remember this conversation. I specifically said, does it cost more to get the thing Cam says happen? And, no, we didn't. Let's just get it through. We'll push it through. We won't worry about that. And I'm like, no, we fucking won't. And I turn and walk out of the shop. Because I'm like, at this point, I don't trust you, right? So I'm kind of, and like, this was last week, during the middle of the week. And I'm like, well, what do you do from that
Sam's
point?
That's right.
What do you do? Get a toasted sandwich maker?
Do what I do. Stole the ring, one of the spare rings, traced it out, gone, this is what I want, ordered it. It came in two sizes too big. So on the plane home road, after I proposed, the ring went in the air on the plane. And almost lost it on the plane.
But no, it's just the trust thing, Jono. There's no trust.
Oh, yeah. There's no trust anyway.
So, Michael Hill, Ballarat, can go get fucked. If you're ever thinking about going to them joint, yeah, that's right.
I went in there, they're like, yeah, pay $3,000. I said, jam it up your fucking ass. I can go somewhere else where it's half that price.
So, anyway, I just said, and so me and Mrs. Fizz are doing no presents. But I tried, and I was visibly distressed. There.
Just go the old Homer Simpson onion ring. That's
I was trying to go the nut move where I didn't have to buy a Christmas present because this was going to be the Christmas present. See what I mean?
They don't fall for it. If I did that as a birthday present and no, it didn't work, where's my birthday present? I'm like, no, fuck you. You've got an engagement ring.
You're not getting a birthday present as well. I mean, your missus is nice and she's all that.
I almost took the ring back when she said that. I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah,
close.
That's right. I can move on. Then you realize she had all your money and moved. Like, oh yeah.
Yes. She runs my life. Nah, all good. Last one. Harley Bunnell, Kurt Tippett.
Jono?
I'm going Kurt Tippett. He's going to average more than Harley Bunnell, mark my words. Because this is how it's going to happen. Harley Bunnell is going to come on, give away a free kick, get -3, ping, hammy, calf. We'll never see him play again. Kurt Tippett, average of 0. He wins.
I've got to be honest, there's a strong possibility. I'm interested in the guy Statesman talked about last week in Kirk Tippett and seeing what he can do.
Mm. Kirk Tippett and Partiff. They should be interesting players.
And Harry Bunnell. I'm still keen on Harry Bunnell. I think he's fine.
I think so too. There's something there. There is something there, I think. Well, I think this might be a two-parter, Steve, because we are coming up on the 1.5-hour mark. We're going to wrap it up. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I hope you had a great Christmas. And this will be a two-parter, so enjoy, and we will see you when we come back.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.